Send the light.
Let it shine.
All right. That is awesome. This morning, in the lesson this morning, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I think I said the word light like 10,000 times. I think I counted them. Actually, I checked my notes, and it was actually 13 times. 13 times. Plus, I probably added a few. But it made me think about the light, and you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the lesson that we're going to be talking about tonight. And it made me think of how important our light is, the light that we're, you know, I can't do brain surgery, but I could hold that light. I could do that. I can't fill a tooth, but I could hold that light. And so there's a lot of ways that we can be a light, but think about how important it is to be the light, the blessed gospel light, that song that we just sang. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. And it also made me think about the darkness in this world. Man, you look around and you see the news and all these terrible things and people that are so confused, so confused. You know, I was at the Restore place here, and I gave one of my little blue cards to a young man in there, and he took it, and as soon as he picked it up, he noticed a way out of religious confusion. He goes, "That's what I want." And then we talked just for a second. That's what I want, out of confusion, especially in the sense of faith. And so anyway, many people today, I'm concerned. As I look around and I see the direction that people are being led, you know, they're not just going on their own. Somebody's leading them down this road. Somebody's leading them to riot. Somebody's leading them to hate. Somebody's leading them to bigotry and race. Somebody's leading them, and we know who it is ultimately. And we need to shine a light on all that. We need to be Christians. We need to be lights so that people can see the truth of the gospel. And a better way of life. No confusion. It seems today that people have a propensity for violence, and our society appears to be kind of going down the tubes in the morality. They're just not online. And yes, many enthusiastically are out there seeking to destroy. They're violent, and they have great zeal trying to destroy the very foundations of our faith. They're trying to destroy the source of morality and righteousness in the Word of God, the church. And so it's possible for each one of us, and this is, you know, to think going into it, it is possible that each and every one of us, regardless of how old you are, regardless of how many Bible verses you have memorized, it's possible for each and every one of us, somewhere between now and next week, to be a light in somebody's life. I mean, it is possible. And when you think about that, and you think we could be the one that changes that anti-Christian, we could set them on a course that would give them freedom and joy in Christ Jesus. They could rejoice with us every day. They could have a hope in heaven one day just because of our light. And that makes it pretty important. And of course, it's important. And listen, Christians have been winning souls for over 2,000 years. Think about it. Yeah. For over 2,000 years, there's been lights in the world. In a world that's always been immoral. In a world that's always been wicked. In a world that's always been anti-light. In a world that loves the darkness, embraces the darkness, loves the sin. In that world, for 2,000 years, Christians have been lights. And in that world, over 2,000 years, thousands, millions of people have turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. Millions of people have heard the gospel because of some light. How did they do that? Day by day, week by week, year by year, they simply live the Christian life, and they shine in the world that others might see that glory. In Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, and this is where we'll get our lesson from, Philippians chapter 2. And verses 12 through 16. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16. Listen to what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. And there's some basic principles that we want to consider here quickly tonight. Think about Paul's formula here as you're looking at it. Paul has a formula. The formula starts off with work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Chapter 2, verse 12. Work it out. Work out your own salvation. Look at yourself in the mirror of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word and the bread of life. Look at yourself and examine yourself. Work out your own salvation, because that makes, the stronger you are in that arena, the stronger your light's going to shine. And he says, do so with fear and trembling. Don't take it lightly. Allow God to work in you, Paul says. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And be children of God without fault in a blameless and harmless way. That's the formula. Pretty straightforward. When you combine the fact that God is there, He's going to help you through the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. Through the vessel of prayer, He's going to help you. If you add that, the fact that God's there to help us, you add that to a willing heart. You need to work out your, develop that willing heart to serve God. And then combine that with obedience. Obedience to the faith. Obedience to the Lord our God. And you have a formula that always will work for anyone. And it'll make you a shining, shining light in this dark world. Think about that formula for a little bit. And it's just amazing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. And Romans 1 and 16, it is such an amazing power. The Word of God, the light of the world. Remember, Jesus in the beginning was the Word was with God. That Word which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that Word. And fundamental to our ability to do all these things, as we think about this, and to shine as lights in the world, the fundamental things that we need to think about is to hold fast the Word of life. Because that's where it all begins. That's where the strength comes from. It is the Word of life that instructs us how to work, how to develop salvation. We see that the Word of life is designed to teach us, each one of us, to fear the Lord. When we have a fear of the Lord, we're not going to fear any man. The Word of life is the sword of the Spirit, the Scripture says. Ephesians chapter 6 and at verse 17. And therefore, it's a crucial element to allowing God to be the one who works in us to His good pleasure. The Word of life, as we go through the Word of life, we know that there is danger in disputing and murmuring. We can't be a member of the body of Christ and have arguments and problems between us all the time. We need to be people gentle and loving, showing that kind of a light, because that's what's going to attract a dark world. And with the help of the Word of life, we can be blameless and harmless children of God without fault. So those are things that are important for us. But all this, for all this to occur, we need to hold fast. We need to hold fast to the word of life. We need to take our Bibles and make that something that is a part of us every day. Don't be ashamed to carry it with you to work. Don't be ashamed to be seen reading your Bible. Don't be ashamed to spend more time reading that and a little less time doing other things. Don't be ashamed to say no to somebody when they ask you to do something during your appointed Bible hour. Don't be ashamed. Think about Ezra. Ezra, a young priest in the Old Testament, and we can learn what is very necessary from him, the proper order of this. In Ezra chapter 7 and at verse 10. You know what it says there? For Ezra had prepared his heart. He was going to be a light in that world. He prepared his heart. And he did it in three ways. Number one, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He needed to seek the law of the Lord. See, he was holding fast the word of life. Secondly, and to do it. Right? It's one thing to know the work. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to seek it. But it's another thing to do it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then after you seek it and after you do it, you're going to teach it. Teach it to others. You know, help other people. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 2, he tells us, and all these things you have heard among me with many witnesses, what did he say? Commit them to faithful men. Why? Commit them to faithful men. Why are we doing that? Why would we commit them to faithful men? And I would add, in our life, this applies to a woman in the sense of evangelism. But you commit it so that they will be able to teach others also. The light. Pretty simple. And we know this is important to God. You know, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, beginning. Listen to what it says. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And listen, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. He wants them to teach and teach and teach. Right? And if you go back up to verse 6, it says, therefore be careful to observe them, the things that you've learned. Verse 7, you know, for what great nation is there that the Lord God is so near to it? As the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him. He's there. And that was true to them, but it's more true to us because we have Jesus Christ. We have one who is the intercessor for us, the propitiation, Jesus. We have direct line to the Father. And so through diligent study, it's required. That's what's required. A longing for the Word of God, like a baby longs for milk, 1 Peter. Receiving the Word of God with meekness, like James says, you know, we receive the Word of God with meekness, and that's implanted into our hearts. It's the thing that makes us the light. Only way I know this can be done is through daily Bible studies. It's the only way. And when we think about, you know, these ways, it's Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Let me go back and read it so I don't mess it up. Nor stands in the way of sinners, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. He is a light in the world. If you meditate like that man, he meditates day and night. And we take advantage of every single opportunity to talk with others, to study with others. You know, if you're real concerned about just facing somebody face to face and maybe getting involved in questions and answers, and you're not real carry Bible tracts. If you meet somebody, say, I'm a Christian, here's a Bible tract, I'd like you to read it, and you know, let me know what your thoughts are. Here's my phone number. Put the Bible tract on a table when you leave a restaurant with the bill. Put the Bible tract in an envelope when you pay a bill. Whatever. You just put your name on there. There's a lot of ways you can do it. Take every opportunity. Every opportunity. Another thing is, it has this diligent study. It's necessary. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 and 15. I remind you of these things, Paul said. It's so important for us to constantly be reminded, being charged with these things before the Lord. Paul wants us to do that. We don't want to be people who are striving about words and to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, he says. We want to be a people that are diligent to present ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth. And when we do that, we're shunning the profane babblings that they just increase more and more to ungodliness. You know, that's the key, the secret. Otherwise, we ourselves could be leading people astray. We could be leading people to ruin if we're not careful. And so we want to be a people that are studying. We know the scriptures. We know what we do, why we do it. We have a scripture verse for everything. Rather than leading others to God, we might be increasing the ungodliness if we don't do that. So it's very, very important. We need to be a people who are making sure that others understand the right way to. We don't want to be mishandling the word of truth. And there's that warning that's in there. Paul says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, what happens? Even the words of the law of Jesus Christ, if they don't accept the doctrine of Christ, what happens? If they're not walking in godliness, what happens? If they're obsessed with disputes and arguments, what happens? If they're somebody that's creating envy and strife and suspicions and useless wranglings, he said, what happens? People that are destitute of the truth, what happens? From such withdraw yourself. So we need to be on guard. We need to know what the Scripture says. We need to be careful that we're walking in the light and speaking the truth. Because if we're going to be lights, we don't want to be a dim light. We don't want to be a flickering light. We don't want to be a light that's light one day and dark another day. We want to be a people who are walking the way that God wants us to walk. Show yourselves approved unto God. He gave that same advice to Titus, very similar advice. In all things, showing yourself to be what? A pattern of good works. Be a light to the world. Avoid foolish disputes and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Just be a light to the world. Things that are unprofitable, be a light. And don't waste your time on them. And through that diligent study, we can do that. And through consistent application, we need to be those people. You know, there's a danger in being a hearer. We mentioned this at the very beginning. There's a real danger, you know, remember what was said. Do it. Right? Seek God. Everything about God. And then do it. And we need to be that kind of a person. We need to be the person that is a doer of the word, not a hearer. We need that in our lives. Look at James chapter 1 at verse 22 and following. James chapter 1. Get that. James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And so we need to be that kind of a person. He says, but if whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that's the person that is blessed. And God knows. You know, He knows. He wants us. He wants us to not be those who deceive ourselves. And He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. Remember Numbers chapter 32, 23? You remember that? Numbers 32, 23? And the people, God has told, He's instructed Israel through to go put on their armor, get their weapons, cross over to the Jordan and defeat the enemies. You just defeat those enemies. And He says, but if you do not do so, then take note that you have sinned against the Lord. And what does He say? And your sin will find you out. We need to be doers of the word. We need to be wholesomely holding fast to the word of life. And listen, when you do things that aren't according to God's word, God knows. You can't fool God, remember? Not only does God know, but even the devil knows. He wants people that are going to be hearers and not doers. And not only the devil, but your friends, family, those people that who know you the best, they're going to see the inconsistency. They're going to hear you say one thing and do another thing. They're going to see that you're double-minded and wavering in all your ways. So be careful. We're lights of the world. We deprive ourselves, or deprive rather, not deprive. We deprive ourselves of the true blessedness of God's Word when we are not hearers of the Word. And the world already has enough Pharisees, right? And when you think about Pharisees, let's remember something very powerful about Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus describes some of the things that are wrong with the Pharisees. He spoke to the multitudes, He spoke to His disciples, and He said that the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, therefore whatever they tell you to do, do it. But what did He say? He says, but do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. I had a discussion with my sister-in-law many years ago in an open kitchen, dining area, and I was reading the scriptures to her, and she just screamed. I mean, the whole world heard her. You guys probably heard her. You might not remember. It was 20-some years ago. But she just screamed at the top of her lungs, "You Pharisee! You're a Pharisee!" And the only reason that she said that is because I was telling her what the Lord tells us we must do to be saved. You're a Pharisee. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying that the Lord said you must believe and be baptized to be saved. And the Pharisee says, no, all you have to do is believe. That's the Pharisee. That's what Jesus, you know, when it comes to the law, they can say it perfectly, but they're not doing it. These are people who say and do not do. Even though what they're saying is correct, they fail to practice, quote, what they preach. And nothing undermines the light that is in you more than being a hypocrite. Not living according to what you say. being a person who's always telling other people, well, you need to stop this, you need to stop that. It's like somebody standing there with a cigarette in their mouth and saying, listen to you, it's a sin. You got to stop smoking. You understand me? Or a bottle, or pornography, or being abusive to your wife or your children, or harsh or mean. You can't do that. And God sees that, and the devil sees that, your friends sees that, and it undermines your light. And we demonstrate the value of the will of God whenever we do the will of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the light. That's the power. When you're out trying to prove things for God, not for yourself, not just for, but for God, by offering what is a reasonable service. Not being conformed to the world. Proving what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, where people might not listen just to our claims, they might think differently if we demonstrate the light, the godly living, the righteousness of God. If we demonstrate that, that's the best way to be a light. And so after we learn God's will, and we need to be sure to live it. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And only then are we in a position to do the next thing, and that is to hold fast to the word of life. We need to teach others. We need to hang on to this word. We need to follow up all the time and study and apply everything that we've heard. Remember Ezra 7:10. Ezra realized it was the proper order of things. He sought the Lord, the law of the Lord. He did it, and he taught it. That's the right order of things. Sadly, there's a lot of people out there that they kind of get that backwards. There's a lot of people out there that are out teaching it. They attempt to do it and fail, and then they turn around and study and see what happened. What was wrong? No. Seek the law of the Lord. Do the law of the Lord. Obey His word. And then teach it to others. And that is to say that, you know, people will take note of that. And they'll want to know more. They'll see that light. You know, they'll see there's no confusion in what you say. They can see that when you say, oh, well, wait, let me show you where it says that. I was talking to Brother Chad today on the way home, and he was asking me why we do certain things the way we do. And I told him, book, chapter, verse. Whatever we're doing, I can show you why. And that's what distinguishes the Christian from the rest of the Christian world, the so-called Christian world. And people see that. If we've properly studied and applied God's word, people will indeed take note. And as we, you know, through the teaching to others, the natural follow-up of this is the study of that application. The people of God proclaiming the word of God, the word of life. That is our primary function in this world. We think about Peter. He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim what? The praises of him who called you into or out of darkness into the light, the marvelous light, he says. And you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God. And we were a people who had not obtained mercy, but now we've obtained mercy. That is the bottom line. That's the primary function. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What do the priests do? Serve God in a holy way, a light in the world. We're to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. The marvelous light. You know, this is just, it's another way of saying that we're to teach others and show them the glorious gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and share that and share that and share that with others. Be the light. And finally, to the point, and certainly not the last point as we look at this, you know, herein lies the greatest hope. You see that up there? The greatest hope of shedding light in this dark world of ours. The greatest hope. If God has called us to be lights of the world, if He's called us to share the gospel, the good news, if He's called us out of darkness, He's called us into His marvelous light, He wants us to do something with that. And when you think about the greatest hope, you find great comfort in knowing that whatever was done to us to turn us around, the light that we saw, whether it was just through the Word or through the Word of another or through the light of another person, that light is something He wants us to share. And when we share our light, just like somebody shared with us, that light is going to help turn people around, and God will do the same thing for others to whom we share our light with. When we share this light, the gospel, the good news, that marvelous light, it doesn't get better than that. When you think of the value of a soul, it doesn't get better than that. And you know what's really powerful here is the Lord is not slack concerning His promise that some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God's will is. That's why this is, it's the greatest hope of all, is that souls will be saved because of your life. And so, listen, endeavor to be lights in this world, to help other people, to bring them to the Word of salvation, to the power of God, to the Holy Spirit. Bring them. And use these things to call them to God so that God can call them out of the darkness and into the marvelous light, just like He did to you. Let's not neglect to share our light. Let's not do that. The greatest hope is that the Lord is not slack. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. And so as we endeavor to shine as lights in this world, to help other people in this world, the way that others helped us, if we want somebody to be called out of darkness into the marvelous light, we need to be sure not to neglect what we have and be sure to share that with the world around us. I appreciate your listening and I appreciate your being here. And I know that you're lights of the world, and just hopefully we can all encourage one another all the more to be a marvelous light. Not just a light, but a marvelous light. If anybody has a need this night, whether it is to be baptized, or whether it is to confess sin or get ask the prayers of the church or any kind of help at all, you can come forward now as we stand and as we sing.